But I do want to catch up with Sammy Edmund, our chief reporter for a McCafe Coffee Catch-Up. You can win a free McCafe Coffee for a year on the My Macca's app. Sammy's had a pretty full day, and it continues to get full. Sam, welcome to you firstly.
Dwayne, pretty heavy going today. Just on that wildcard weekend, if you like, just one question I have on that. Could we live with a scenario whereby the team who finishes eighth might easily qualify for the top eight? Let's say a couple of games clear of ninth. Could we live with a scenario where they therefore lose that wild card game and wild card weekend and miss out? I mean, would that be just?
Well, maybe, maybe not. That's the dilemma that we've got right now. I mean, the St Kilda Richmond Western Bulldogs battle for eighth spot is so tight, and Carlton's battle
it is this year
to make the final.
It is.
Yeah, it is really tight right now. But again, my big plus for the wild card game, the play-in game that might involve a ninth and a tenth team, is the fact that it keeps other games alive during the season for longer. And I think that's, you know, I'm the broadcaster of dead rubbers over the next couple of weeks. I've got a few of them, and I'd like less of them. That's the
There's no interest like self-interest. Is this what you're admitting?
No, I think that it would be good, though, if the Adelaide Crows-North Melbourne game at the Adelaide Oval next weekend was still valid.
Pipe, don't sell yourself short. But Pipe, you get up for everything. You can get up for anything.
Yeah, even I can sell you there's still a million to one. You're saying there's a chance
exactly.
For the Gold Coast Suns.
Embrace the Lloyd Christmas.
Yeah, Gold Coast Suns can still make it. They just have to win their next three games by 25 goals each game, including the game against the Cats. Sammy, the Eddie Betts book, it's been pretty explosive, hasn't it? I mean, no one believes a journo like you when you come up with a story like this 2 years ago, like a few journalists did, including Sam McClure. Because one barracks for the journalist to be right. But Eddie Betts has put it in black and white now. This is a real story.
Yeah, look, I mean, no. Look, they're all stories that have been reported, Dwayne, to be honest, as a lot of people say. But I think when you've got someone of the status of Eddie Betts, who was there himself, who experienced it himself, and for him to put his thoughts and his recollections and his feelings on paper takes it to a whole new level than what we could ever do. We're only trying to report what we were reporting, which we stand by factually. And, of course, a lot of that was reported on the condition of anonymity because, you know, this was a culture at the time at Adelaide that if you did speak out against senior management, then there were fears of being ostracised or cut adrift. And we did see that with the players that have left Adelaide in the aftermath and the staff as well. So we've also lost our breath talking about this great autobiography now, The Boy from Boomerang Crescent, that's out today, Dwayne, because we knew this was coming and we knew Eddie Betts was going to detail a lot of his, I guess, memories of the camp in 2018. But I reckon even with all that anticipation, we couldn't have possibly envisaged just how deep the pain went with Eddie and just exactly how haunting and just how concerning his experiences were on the camp.
So there were a couple of excerpts, and you read them earlier with Gerard Whateley. I don't know if you want to read a couple of them again now. I've had a couple of texts saying,
"Well, I'm in your hands." In the book.
Well, fire away if you like, Sam, because as horrific as they are to hear, it would probably good for our audience to hear a couple of them again.
He devotes a whole chapter to mind training that was introduced to Adelaide halfway through 2017, their run to the grand final, and then off the back of that thrashing in the grand final to Richmond in 2018. So it started off, we won't read through them all, but as Eddie remembers, they started off almost farcical, pretty ridiculous exercises, you know, facial expressions, which you touched on earlier as well, the power stance, all sorts of masculinity circle-ups and the like. But it took on a far more sinister tone when it comes to the Gold Coast camp in 2018, which has been, as you said earlier, detailed in the media forever and a day. But Eddie's specific, I guess, experience here reads like this. He says it was his turn for the initiation. I was put into the climbing harness with the rope attached and told that I needed to get to the knife and cut myself free. I crawled through the dirt while the camp guys held the rope and yelled abuse at me. At one point, I thought I was getting close to the knife, but they dragged me 30 metres back over the gravel and mud. When I got close again, they instructed two of my biggest teammates to jump on me and push me into the ground and not let me move. While the camp dudes continued to yell abuse at me, I heard things yelled at me that I had disclosed to the camp's counsellors about my upbringing. All the people present heard these things. By the time I got my teammates off my back, I was exhausted, drained and distressed about the details being shared. Another camp guy jumped on top of me and started to berate me about my mother, something so deeply personal that I was absolutely shattered to hear it come out of his mouth. I was in a compromised situation with some dickhead literally on my back yelling private information I thought I'd disclosed in confidence. Here they were now using that against me. Among the really awful things, he said, was that I'd be a shit father as I was raised by only a mother. This wasn't the worst of it either, but I don't want to go there in order to protect the people I care about. I've never been violent, but in that moment, I elbowed the guy in the head as hard as I could. I remember looking up at someone who knew me, and I could see the dismay and embarrassment in their eyes. For me, it was traumatising. I was broken to tears, and looking back now, I was put into a crap situation that I never should have been subjected to. I was put into a situation that was psychologically and culturally unsafe, and this scenario was repeated for each and every one of the boys, and we were all recruited to provide the verbal abuse aimed at our teammates. I'll live with this shame for the rest of my life. I never want to be in that position again, where I'm forced against my will to physically and mentally abuse the people that I care about, Dwayne.
So, will the AFL reopen an investigation, Sam, do you think?
I can't answer that at the moment. I've tried to get in touch with the AFL on this. Of course, they cleared it. They ticked it off. They investigated in October 2018, and they cleared Adelaide, Dwayne, of any rule breach at the time surrounding the camp, but they did say the Crows should have taken or shown greater care. More recently than that, Safework SA ticked it off in September of last year, saying that there was no evidence of any breach of the Work Health and Safety Act of 2012. But, Dwayne, I mean, you tell me, if either people investigating, the AFL or Safework SA, had sat down and heard that from Eddie Betts, there's no way they could have come to that conclusion, surely. So clearly, Eddie wasn't spoken to for reasons that only Eddie and the AFL and Safework SA can explain.
So you've continued to do a bit of digging today. Any new information that is going to come out now that this information has come out, do you think?
Yeah, so there was multiple groups up on the Gold Coast too, Dwayne. So this is the experience, I guess, of about a dozen people. Now, there was a group one, there was a group two, there was a group three. And group one was the one that endured the most confronting elements. And Eddie wasn't on his own in expressing his concern that he details in the book. He mentions Josh Jenkins, Hugh Greenwood, the support of those two, and other players as well. I can tell you that Don Pike, the senior coach at the time, and the assistant coach Scott Camporelli were in that group with Eddie Betts. Now, they were there for the initiation ceremony, so the senior coach was there and said to be none the wiser, Dwayne, about what was coming, but only he can explain what was going through his mind at the time. Now, when it comes to the harness, you know, the back and forth wrestling would last around 20 minutes to half an hour. There was one particular camp leader who would decide, Dwayne, when it was time to, you know, quote unquote, fight for your new life. And then the rope that was strapped to the player's back before they had to pull against a dozen grown men, which is, of course, a fruitless task. But when the time was right and they announced it, the player would be allowed to access the knife and told to slowly cut through the rope and savour the moment that he became a quote, a better son, a better husband, and a better brother. So I think we're going to hear a lot more from this, Dwayne. I just think people say, why haven't players spoken out beforehand? I just think it was such a fear of the backlash that had come back the other way. We know Eddie Betts details in the book that he was 3 weeks after raising his concerns officially on the camp, he was removed from the leadership group. He wasn't the only player to be removed from the leadership group. Players were traded as well. So now that a player has put his thoughts on paper, like we say with Eddie Betts, as detailed and as graphically as he has done, I reckon we might get a few more players come out and share their own experiences in the days to come as well.
Yeah, look, as I mentioned earlier, I've been involved in camps, I've been involved in hard training where, you know, physically pushed to the limit. I've only ever seen one player stand up and say, no, I'm not taking this garbage anymore, and I quit, and virtually saying, your career is over. It would be really hard to stand up in that moment and say, okay, that's enough now. Hang on. This wasn't what we signed up for here in this camp. This is not what we thought was going to happen.
Some tried, Dwayne, and it is detailed in Eddie Betts' book, that one or two players did try and were convinced to stick around. And I guess, you know, not peer pressured, but convinced and swayed to stay. I mean, this is, you know, Eddie goes into great detail in the book. He devotes a whole chapter to it, as I say. It's, fake guns, players blindfolded, blocked out buses, Richmond theme songs, a player who demanded a person that was to be referred to only as Richmond by name, dressed head to toe. So a lot of farcical and silly things. And I guess things that that you and former players can recollect from a pre-season camp point of view. But as I say, definitely straight into the obscene and the disturbing elements as well.
So if there wasn't the Eddie Betts book and these revelations today, what would be the number one story today? Would it be Brodie Grundy's setback?
Yeah, that's a pretty big one, isn't it? Just when he was on the verge of a comeback, he's tweaked that ankle at training yesterday, Dwayne. So he's going to miss with that ankle injury. Got some scans, and clearly Collingwood hoping that's not going to be too severe. He had just made his return via the VFL. We'll go through it, shall we? Because at St Kilda, Dan Hannabury, we're told, has pulled up fine from his first game of the year last week. Dwayne, Dougal Howard set to resume against the Cats on Saturday night as well. He hasn't played since round 16 with that meniscus injury. So, Dwayne, the Cats have won 10 in a row. Saints inside the eight by just half a game. They have to keep winning, and their coach Brett Ratten discussed the immense challenge of facing Geelong.
Is it Cameron and Hawkins, or is it Dangerfield and co, or is it Stewart and Bricconi? Like, they're well drilled, well rehearsed, playing good footy. We've won, what do they won, 10 in a row. So they're playing well, but you know, like anything, you can't win forever, and you know, the opportunity for us is win, lose or draw, it's the way we go about it, and that's what we're sticking to. You know, the process has been good the last few weeks, and we've worked really hard, but Geelong are going to be tough.
Can't win forever, Dwayne. Are they due for one?
Well, I thought he was going to go with the if they bleed, we can kill them kind of line, Lee Matthews style, but I don't think they will win, but there'll be an upset this weekend. I'm not sure what it'll be. It could be at the Gabba. We might open the lines on that tomorrow at some stage. Have you got an idea as to who might be your upset this weekend? It would be an upset if Collingwood beat Melbourne, wouldn't it? But they are, you know, that could be an eventuality that could happen given what Collingwood's been able to do so far. I'm just thinking of what another upset might be. Could Fremantle upset the Dogs at Marvel Stadium? Have you got an upset for the round?
Don't ask me, Dwayne. I'm literally the world's worst tipster. Other than there is always an upset, I just happen to pick the wrong one. at North Melbourne, Lee Adams, he said Ben Cunnington, a final decision will be made on him tomorrow, Dwayne, after main training. So a light day today. He was with the rehab group at Arden Street today. So tomorrow's the day. They say, Dwayne, they're weighing up to play him in the VFL and the AFL potentially against Sydney on Sunday, or as would appear more likely from the outside anyway, the VFL. But they're not ruling out a senior return straight up for their midfield general, Ben Cunnington, who, of course, has fought off cancer twice now as well and had a really emotional and difficult journey in recent times. Mitch Lewis won't play against the Suns for the Hawks. Ned Reeves out for the season with the shoulder as well. It is Ben McAvoy's 250th against Gold Coast, Dwayne. Mm. What a journey just in the last 6 months alone for this guy. You know, neck fracture, limited function in his right arm as a result. He could, in the early weeks, only lift a bar in the gym with no weights on it. So a fair old journey just in the last half a season. And it's a walking wounded, as you say, at Carlton. The Blues last night revealing those checkups on the concussed midfielder Matt Kennedy's jaw had revealed a fracture there. So they're not expecting him back until the last round of the season. Corey Durden won't play. George Hewitt won't play. Liam Stocker can't come in because he was concussed in the VFL. So there's a few gaps to fill. Harry McKay was on with Jared Waitley earlier on today, Dwayne. He spoke around covering off for Matt Kennedy in the engine room.
That probably added to it on Saturday night, Jared. There was a few soldiers went down, which was disappointing. But so Matt Kennedy, yeah, I think, not sure exactly in terms of a time frame, but it'll be a couple of weeks. He was pretty sore after the game, which was not great to see. Nick Newman as well, he was a solid gash across his knee. So he'll be out for a few weeks as well. Corey Durden, I think his scan result was pretty good, so maybe 1 to 2 weeks. So got away with one there, which was nice. But obviously disappointing with all the injuries. But however, we've said it all year, it's a squad mentality, and I'm really confident that the next man up will get a job done for us on the weekend. So provides opportunity for some of the guys that have been playing some good footy in the VFL to play some senior footy.
Harry McKay there, Dwayne.
Yeah, nice work by you. I didn't realise you're playing that audio, but it was nice to hear him on Gerald Watley's program. It's a nice regular spot hearing him and Jacob Wiedering as a regular on Gerald Watley's program. Great work by you, Sammy. I really appreciate you joining me. And there was a huge response for you being on the program yesterday as well, bringing this great comeback news at North Melbourne. So many North Melbourne fans pretty happy. Let's hope he gets a game in the seniors. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Sammy, you've been joining us for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Treat yourself to a McCafe coffee and you could win free barista-made coffee for a year.